Are we back on Earth yet? My report's back from my alien space school. Written and read by Russell Corey. Report 1, Section 1. I think that when your family gets abducted by aliens, it should count as a snow day, which means no school. But not to my mom. She's making me keep a report of everything that's happening to us, because at this point, she doesn't know when we're getting back to Earth, and if I do miss a lot of school, she wants me to turn this report in for extra credit. At least my spacesuit has a live transcription function, which is a fancy way of saying that I can write this report without having to pick up a pencil. I just speak, and the spacesuit automatically writes down everything for me. It even does spell check. So, I guess I should start at the beginning. But what do you count as the beginning? The beginning of when I was born? The beginning of when I found out we were going on vacation to the moon? The beginning of when we got captured by aliens? The beginning of when we woke up in a galactic zoo? This is why I didn't want to do this. So much work. But it's not like there's much else to do. If you thought being on the moon for vacation was boring, wait until you get stuck in a tiny zoo creation of the moon. At least on the actual moon, we could travel around in our moon rover and explore different rocks and craters and visit the moon tourist gift shop and kids arcade, which isn't much of an arcade at all. 5 games, that's it. But I would take just one video game right now, because stranded here in our moon recreation, it's just the same 3 craters and 4 big rocks. The rest is just gray powder that they must have scooped up when they took us from the moon's surface. Seriously, it takes about 90 seconds to drive the rover around the whole fake moon set that they made for us. We should know, we've done it like 20 times now, hoping to find some clue as to how to get out of here. But no luck, we're trapped. So, I might as well just tell you our story. My guess is that you already know all about me, right? I mean, on the account of we're so famous and all. But just in case this report is discovered 1,000,000,000 years from now, I should probably tell you just a little something. Okay, a long time ago, my grandfather started a YouTube channel, and he would post cell phone video of my dad as a baby dancing to hip-hop and rap music. Well, if you want to call it dancing, he would be in his crib, and when the fresh beats would hit, he would start smiling and bobbing his head and flailing his arms and legs to the music. My grandfather would then pause the music, and my dad would freeze until the track started again. Hilarious and very profitable. Millions and millions of people loved watching those dancing rap baby clips. So many, in fact, that my grandfather quit his job as an accountant and just started making videos with my dad full time. My father literally grew up on YouTube, from being potty trained to learning how to play Roblox and Minecraft. That's how my family got so rich. Toy companies and game makers would pay my dad to play with their products on YouTube. Plus, they got to take all these amazing vacations all over the world, all for free, because the publicity these places got was priceless. After my father's family went there and put it on their channel, their sales would skyrocket. In fact, so much of my dad's life was captured on YouTube that I've even seen episodes where my dad first saw my mom while they were on one of these dream vacations, and how they became boyfriend, girlfriend after that. Yeah, kind of gross. When they grew up, they got married, and I was born. And you can bet the cameras were there to capture it all and share it with the world on YouTube. Some people have circus families, some people have wrestling families, but me, I was born into a YouTube family. In fact, the first words my parents tried to teach me weren't mama and dada, it was, please hit that subscribe button and like this video. But soon after I was born, my mom and dad knew something was terribly wrong with me. I didn't like having my picture taken. They would take their cameras out, and I would just start crying and turn away from them as long as they were trying to film me. People stopped watching our channel because I would ruin all the videos they put me in, because I would just cry the whole time, non-stop. Hey, sue me, I was a baby. The only way to get me to stop crying was by giving me a book, and my favorite book was Spot Dot Blot. I loved those cute little robots and couldn't get enough of them. But watching me stare at a kid's book doesn't make a very interesting YouTube clip. So my dad came up with an idea. He made real-life spot dot blot robots, each one with a camera inside of it that would take video of our family as we started to do things again. Spot would walk around with us and take video from the ground. Dot was a drone that would fly in the sky and take aerial video from above. And Blot, he was an underwater camera that could take video in pools, lakes, rivers, and oceans, and, of course, my favorite, water parks. Finally, new clips of my family started showing up on YouTube again, and because I loved having Spot Dot Blot around so much, I wasn't crying anymore. And no crying meant views. Lots of views. Yeah, not only was I much happier, so was my dad, as millions of people started watching our YouTube clips again. And as soon as I was old enough to travel, we went on the same amazing trips he went on as a child. New York, Disney World, Hawaii, California, Japan, Alaska, England, Egypt, Canada, Africa, Peru, and Australia, all bought and paid for by good old American product placement. Yep, I was quite the world traveler, and I wasn't even a tween yet. However, there was one place my dad's family never had gone on any of their trips: the moon. I know it's hard to imagine now, but it used to be a really big deal to go to the moon. I mean, it still is in a way because moon vacations are so expensive. But in an effort to get more families to travel to the moon, the Lunar Tourist Bureau gave our family a special deal. We would fly to the moon and get to travel around in a moon RV rover for a week, as long as we sent back awesome YouTube clips showing how much fun the moon was. The only problem was, the moon wasn't much fun at all. It was gray, dull, and lifeless. There were no water parks, roller coasters, or beaches to play at. Just a lot of moon rocks, craters, and historic NASA relics from like 100 years ago. Okay, yes, you got to see the Earth in the black sky of space, and that was cool the first 10 times you see it, but just like anything in life, you just get used to it. On the plus side, you do get a t-shirt that says what number person you are to walk on the moon. I was 3,029th. Yeah, space travel just is not the way they say it is in science fiction movies. There are no wars going on in the stars, no space princesses that need rescuing, and no galactic monsters hiding in caves, ready to jump out and devour you. So, when we finally did get abducted by aliens, I was almost like, cool, something's actually happening. I mean, at first, I just assumed it was a trick my dad was playing on us to make our video more funny and interesting. My dad was always doing that, pulling pranks and doing fake outs just to jazz things up. And my dad, he had been reading all the comments on our moon update videos, and viewers were starting to get bored watching us just bounce around on the moon. But when I saw how scared my mom and dad looked as our space rover was sucked off the surface of the moon and pulled into the belly of a giant spaceship, I knew this was serious, and it was no joke or fake out. The last thing we all remembered was watching the gray, crater-marked surface of the moon disappear as the belly of the spaceship closed. In the darkness, I felt my dad wrap his arms around me and my mom. He quietly whispered to both of us that everything was going to be okay, that he would protect us. But from what? None of us knew. For a moment, it looked like my dad was right and everything would be okay, because when we woke up, we were all back on the surface of the moon again. Well, we thought it was the surface of the moon. But now, none of our cell phones or moon rover communication systems were working, and we didn't have internet access either. The moon rover still worked, and we had plenty of food, water, and air to live off of, but that was it. Dad wasn't sure what had happened. His initial thought was there must have been a gas leak in the moon rover and we all had been hallucinating. He drove the moon rover around, but we quickly realized we were just going in a circle when we spotted our own tread marks in the moon dust that we had just left. My dad wanted to be for sure they were our tread marks, so we drove around again. Sure enough, we saw the same craters and rocks that we had just passed moments ago, and once again, we ended up looking at where our tracks had started from, except we had a new set of tracks to look at this time. We all got out of the moon rover with Spot and Dot. There was no water around, so Blot stayed in his case. Poor Blot, he stayed in his case a lot on the moon because there was no water to be found. Walking around in our spacesuits, it felt different than when we were on the moon before. There was more gravity this time, so there was no bouncing in the air a little bit with each step. In fact, it was as if we were walking on Earth. Dot was in the air taking video and pictures when it smacked into something. A wall. A wall that was painted black and meant to look like the darkness of space from the surface of the moon. Spot then explored out and also ran into a wall that was painted to look like the surface of the moon going off into the distance. But it was just a picture of the moon's horizon, not the real thing. My dad then ordered us to return to the moon rover, and we got Spot and Dot back inside as well. Then he sealed the door. My mom asked my dad what he thought was going on, but he wasn't sure. He said that someone or something had trapped us in an enclosure that was supposed to look like the surface of the moon. Well, why would they do that? My mom asked. I don't know, said my dad. My dad always had the answer, even if he was wrong. To hear him say he didn't know made me a little scared. So, of course, then I peed in my pants a little. Sometimes I pee in my pants when I get scared and nervous. It happens. It hasn't happened in a long time, thank goodness. And even now, it's kind of okay because our spacesuits are built for you to go to the bathroom in them. So technically, I don't think it was quite the same as when I peed my pants on the first day of second grade and was known as Pee Boy for the rest of the year. Thank goodness my dad wasn't allowed to take video of me at school, or that would have ended up on YouTube and the whole internet would have called me Pee Boy for the rest of my life. After I pressed the flush button in my spacesuit, something amazing happened. Not that pressing the flush button in your own spacesuit isn't amazing enough in and of itself, but believe it or not, this was even more amazing because it was the first time the voice spoke to me. "Don't be afraid," the voice said. "Mom, Dad, did you hear that?" I asked. "Hear what?" they said. "Someone just said, 'Don't be afraid,'" I told them. "I didn't hear anything," my dad said. "Don't be afraid," the voice spoke again, repeating itself. "There, it said it again. You must have heard it that time." "No, I didn't," Dad said. "What did this voice say exactly?" "It said, 'Don't be afraid,' again," I told them. "I think you're just hearing things, sweetheart. Just relax. Mommy and Daddy will take care of you," my mom said, trying to reassure me. "Don't be afraid," the voice said yet again, for the third time. But this time, it added more. "You were just born today, and you're starting your new life. Life is a great adventure, full of friends and fun. You'll love it. Trust me." "Mom," the voice said, "we were just born today." "Stop listening to that voice," my mom warned me. "I can't. I hear it in my head. It's not like I can change the channel," I told her. "Can you talk to the voice?" my dad asked. "I don't know," I said. "I don't want him talking to any strange voices," my mom protested. "Look, it might be the only chance we have to learn what's going on," my dad argued back. While they were debating, I couldn't help myself, and I did indeed try talking back to the voice. "Hello, I wasn't born today. Didn't you see my birthday episode on YouTube last month? It got like over 100 million views. I even got a Lamborghini go-kart. It's so sweet." "You weren't born just now? But I saw you come out of your mommy's tummy, you and your other siblings." "Those aren't my siblings. Those are my parents." "Oh, so you're not cute little babies?" "No." "Huh. Then you might have something to be afraid about." "Mom, Dad, the voice is saying we have to be afraid now." "Why?" my dad asked. "I didn't know. So I asked the voice, 'Why do we have to be afraid?'" "Because the collectors thought the specimen just gave birth to babies. But if that's not true, then they're going to think you're parasites infecting the specimen." "Specimen? What specimen?" I asked. "The creature you're in right now," the voice said. "That's the specimen." "Mom, Dad, they think the moon rover is the specimen, and we're just either babies or parasites." "Tell this voice to set us free right away," my mom demanded. "Set us free," I ordered. "I can't," the voice said back. "He can't," I informed my parents. "Why not?" my mom asked. "Why not?" I asked the voice. "Because I'm not in charge. I'm just a specimen as well." "He says he's not in charge, Mom. He's just a specimen too." Then the voice kept talking. "Look, you have to act as if you're babies, or else they're going to come to the conclusion that you are parasites, and they'll have no choice but to exterminate you to protect the specimen. Once again, I relayed the message to my parents. Listen, Mom and Dad, this isn't a joke. We have to act like babies to the moon rover, or else they're going to exterminate us. That means kill, right? Yes, the voice said. My dad was getting frustrated. This is crazy. How are we supposed to act like moon rover babies? But the truth was, our family was always doing crazy, wacky things on camera. So I decided to just go with it and started to come up with ideas. Let's just go out and give the rover hugs and kisses and show that we love it, I suggested. That's ridiculous, my dad protested. And trust me, I know ridiculous, he added, which was true. My dad would do almost anything to get views for our videos. He would even still dress up like a baby and dance to rap music to duplicate all the dancing baby videos that made him famous in the first place. The voice spoke again, only this time I could tell how worried it was for us, as if it had just learned something new. Go, you have to act fast. They think the specimen is sick from the new parasites, since it isn't moving anymore. I told this to my parents, and they reluctantly believed me. So we quickly jumped out and started to hug and stroke the moon rover, the way a baby would cuddle with its mom. The voice now sounded relieved. It's working. They think you're adorable. You're safe now. Now that we were safe, I was starting to think of questions to ask the voice, and the voice must have been able to read my mind, because it started to reply to the questions I was thinking about without me even having to say them out loud. The two of us just started to have a conversation without me even saying a peep. So, if you're not who brought us here from the moon, who did? I was thinking. The voice answered me back in my head. The collectors send out probes to bring back interesting life forms from all over the universe to put on display. Kinda like a zoo? Exactly like a zoo. We're in a zoo, Mom and Dad. This surprised my mom and dad, but it also finally made sense to them as well. They can't put us in a zoo. We have rights. The voice could now even hear what I was hearing because it answered my dad's complaint without me even having to repeat it back to the voice. They didn't put you in the zoo. They put the specimen in the zoo. You just came along as a bonus. I got excited because I thought I could see a way out of this now. In that case, I said to the voice, can you tell them they made a mistake by taking us and can they just return us to Earth? Oh, they won't listen to me. I'm just a Tud. What's a Tud? It's me. It's what I am. What do you call yourselves, by the way? We're humans. Human Earthlings. Where are you? I asked as I took a break from hugging the rover to look around the containment area that we were trapped in. How are you seeing us? I asked. I see you with my eyes. But Tuds also have special sensors in their brains that let us know what other creatures are thinking. And sometimes we can even actually communicate with them, like we're doing now. It's called whispering. And even if we don't know each other's language, I can still understand your thoughts, just as you understand my thoughts. So where are you then? I asked. I'm in your enclosure. I wasn't sure how you would react if you saw me first, so I wanted to keep a low profile, which isn't hard for a Tud. That's a little Tud humor for you. You'll get it once you see me. Most specimens are pretty scared when they show up in the zoo, and if they see me before I get to know them, they have a tendency to try and attack me, thinking I'm the one that captured them. Or they just think I'm a threat in general, which is ridiculous. Again, you'll understand once you see me. I don't need to see you to know you're not a threat. I can feel it right now. Just like you said, I can feel your thoughts and feelings. And I can tell you want to be our friend. I do. See, because there's not much to us Tuds, I can use my size and ability to squeeze in and out of tight places, which lets me sneak out of my enclosure and go around and make friends with all the new specimens that get put on display. Well, at least the ones that want to be friends. Well, I want to be your friend, I said. So come on out, why don't you? Okay, look over by that rock in front of the specimen. I looked over the rock in front of the moon rover, but all I saw was a big, flat, round-looking bug with two black specks for eyes. My dad saw the huge bug, too, and yelled out for us to get back in the rover. He pushed us in and locked the hatch again. What's wrong? My mom asked. There's something out there. A bug. A big bug. My dad then pointed out the window, but there was nothing on the rock now. I forgot the Tud and I were talking to each other using our minds, so my parents missed out on most of our conversation. I tried to get them caught up as best I could. Dad, I think that's what was talking to me. Then stop talking to it right now. The last thing we need is a giant bug that knows what you're thinking. But Dad, it saved our lives. If we hadn't gone out there and acted like babies, the collector would have tried to get rid of us as if we were parasites. We don't know that, my dad said. That thing could have been lying to us just to get us outside so it could eat us for breakfast. Dad, if it was going to attack us and eat us, it would have just done so already. Now it thinks you want to kill it, just like a bug on Earth. Remember, it reads our thoughts, all of our thoughts. Great, so it's a think bug. We can't even hide from it because it can sense our fear. We can't even come up with a plan of attack because it'll know what we're thinking ahead of time. That's right, Dad. And right now, it thinks you want to kill it, which is why it ran away. Then I called out to the voice. Hi, are you out there, Tud? Come back. Hello? Great, Dad. The think bug ran away, and I don't know if it's ever going to come back. Good, my dad said. I'm glad it's gone. Look, I have one job right now, and that's to keep you and your mother safe. I know my dad meant well, but I was really mad at him. And after a while of me giving him the silent treatment, I think he felt bad about overreacting to the Tud, or the think bug, as he liked to call it. He even drove the rover around the enclosure a few times, just to see if the think bug was still out there, but we never did see it again. I had finally made a friend on this moon trip, and now that friend is gone. Or maybe it got squashed by my dad when we were driving around looking for it. Either way, it's bad. End of section one. For more on Are We Back on Earth Yet?, please visit my author website at russellcorey.com. See videos, drawings, and get the latest news updates. Are We Back on Earth Yet? Is copywritten by Russell Corey. All rights are reserved.